Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. How much time do you have? Yeah, well, that then we have to go to a long, long history, of course. From the first moment that you saw us till this moment. It's strange that you, from being just a member of the audience in Zurich in 1982, I think it was, just a face in the crowd,
yeah,
became a big connoisseur of our work. And finally now, after your radio career, you start doing this. And you had to do it, I know. That was a kind of holy mission.
Holy grail.
But it's really a holy grail. It can be an avalanche. You're dealing with an avalanche.
Yeah. The question is why, huh?
Yeah, why? Yeah, why? But that's.
Well, let's put this question. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
The record slides onto the turntable, the needle catches a groove, and you're back in your student living room in 1983. The radiant melodies, the transparency, acoustic guitars and grand piano, arpeggios and pizzicati, like shafts of sunlight in a room obscured by the dark trees in the street outside. Omsk is one of those records that transports me back to a time in my life like Springsteen's Nebraska or English Settlement by XTC. Stories make up a lifetime, and the Nits most certainly became part of my life. They were a young band, I was a young journalist. They became more famous, and over time, we became friends. My first Nits concert, October 1982, at the Flash Club in Zurich. I liked a total of maybe 5 songs from the first 3 albums, but my boss, record store owner Rudy, urged me to come along. The concert should start at 8, but it keeps getting pushed back. Down the road at the alternative rock mecca, Rote Fabrik, there is a gig by Nichts, a German new wave band. So the organizers want to wait for the audience of Nichts to join the few people gathered for the Nits. I have courses at university the following day, so I'm about ready to leave when the Nits take the stage. The young reporter and ping pong changed everything. From Nichts to Nits in 2 hours, and I stayed way beyond the gig. On the evening of March 26, 1984, the Nits play a concert at the Volkshaus in Zurich. Rudy, the record shop owner, has organized this concert with my help. We have no money to take the band out for dinner, so we invite them to my place. 2.5 tiny rooms in a popular neighborhood of Zurich, down the road from the Volkshaus. 15 people, musicians, roadies, soundman, manager, and 2 top executives of CBS Records, crammed into a room that is small for 4 people. The first of many evenings spent eating, drinking, discussing music, books, films. Many Nits stories start at such tables. The 31st of August 1988, a beautiful late summer's day in Austria, close to the Lake of Constance. You'd usually find grazing cows here, but on this particular day, rock and roll has come to this mountain meadow.
It's been away too long. Hey, was I to have
Headliners are bluesman Luther Allison and the Nits. The latter have parked their Nightliner bus close to the stage. They have come as stars, with a hit about the Dutch mountains. In the foothills of the Alps, people have been indulging in a drink called Diesel, one half red wine, one half cola. By the time the Dutch band takes the stage, the audience is drowsy. When the hit comes around, someone grabs a handful of straw from the floor and throws it in the air. Everyone follows suit. Everything goes haywire, and no one can see the band anymore.
Wolfgang Sturm, ich bin der Direktor des Theater Akzent im 4. Bezirk in Wien.
Wolfgang Sturm, director of the Theater Akzent in the 4th District of Vienna. Wolfgang started hosting Nits concerts back in 2010.
Meine Verbindung zu den Nits ist primär mal eine private.
His interest in the Nits began privately as a music fan who also liked Cocteau Twins and Nick Cave. I got to know them at the beginning of the 80s. Being a fan, you start building a huge collection. And I followed them and went to their concerts whenever I managed, in places that I sometimes found pretty unsuitable for this band. But I always felt that I wanted to get to know them. They seemed like a nice family.
Ja, ich wollte sie einfach irgendwann einmal persönlich kennenlernen.
The Nits entered his life when many parallel trends were important. New wave, punk, post-punk, hard rock. The Nits remained one undefinable band, the one that didn't seem to really fit into any category. One thing that Wolfgang finds attractive, the many references to Europe. German lyrics, references to Jardin d'Hiver, Turkish lyrics in Vaholanda Seni Seni, and the album title Hotel Europa.
Und so weiter. Also ich finde diese, das macht auch dieses Europäische aus eigentlich für mich. Das ist sehr toll. Dieses Hotel Europa, das ist also ein großartiger Titel für das Album. Und ich glaube, ein wichtiger Punkt.
Another important fact, at the time the Nits became more known in Europe, MTV started and one got to see the videos. And they were so special, extraordinary, that I decided to investigate them more. Vienna and the Nits, that seems a natural enough fit. What with the aura of a capital city of an empire, with splendid theaters and mansions, with the smoky interiors of coffee houses, with the beautiful ugliness of old social estates, but also a love story between a country and a Dutch band that scored a huge hit.
Vielleicht sind sie diesen Image in Österreich der Pop-Hit-Schaffenden irgendwie in dem verankert geblieben. Ja,
maybe the Nits got stuck in this image of a pop band with one or two hits, and the people didn't follow them when their albums became less commercial, in inverted commas. They were booked in strange locations and people came along to hear in the Dutch mountains. Maybe their label and the promoters should have tried a different approach. I don't see them in these halls that smell of smoke and beer, where people stand around and talk during the concert. When I became director of this theater, I decided to write to the management to ask whether they would consider playing a concert here. And they did. And when I saw them in this context for the first time, it seemed like a match made in heaven. Their stage designs are fantastic and very artful. They always reflect the current album. The visual design has a lot to do with theater, but also with art. It is as if you were invited to walk into an installation.
Es ist wie ein Kunstwerk, in das du hineingehen könntest, wenn du dich auf die Bühne stellen würdest.
Thus, Wolfgang the fan becomes Wolfgang the concert promoter.
Oh Gott, das war aufregend. Das erste war, dass wir entschieden hatten, den Hank für einen Pressetag nach Wien zu holen.
That was so exciting, says Wolfgang. Fortunately, we decided to have Hank in Vienna for a day for some promotion work. We took him to Café Havelka, together with a team of Austrian TV. He then busked a couple of songs outside in the street. We went to a TV and a radio station, so I got to know him better and became less nervous. And when the others came along for the concert, it all went well. And that was the start of a great relationship. Netz have since returned to the Theater Akzent a number of times. One track from the Hotel Europa live album was recorded here. Wolfgang remembers another moment that he cherishes from the concerts at his theater.
Home Before Dark. Und das war einer der berührendsten Momente. Das war bei einem Konzert hier im Haus so, dass das die letzte Zugabe war. Und sie setzen sich einfach.
They once played this as a last encore, but they sat at the edge of the stage and played it on acoustic instruments. A special moment where you could sense the intense relationship between the band and their audience.
All left for me. Better late than never. Here come the sunny days. I keep my eyes wide open, and all I say is.
For Wolfgang, these concerts were the realization of a dream. It's such an honor when the band thanks you at the end of the concert. I found that very touching.
Gastfreundschaft oder irgendwie, das ist sowas, was mich mir vor 30 Jahren nie träumen hätte lassen, verstehst? Sehr berührend. Sind sonst so Fanträume, die dann wahr geworden sind, oder?
It feels like a fan's dream has come true. And even though Wolfgang has become the promoter and organizer of the concerts in Vienna, he still remains first and foremost a fan. It's not only the music, it's the lyrics, the stage presentation, the theatrical element, the family spirit. There are so many elements about them that are simply beautiful, and this after a career of 50 years.
Sie sind halt einfach nitzig. nitzig.
They're just nitzy. I just invented a word that will find its way into a dictionary sometime in the future.
Einfluss in der Dictionary.
Austrofred, a.k.a. Franz Adrian Wenzel, is a fictional character, an Austro pop star who combines German lyrics with the melodies of Freddie Mercury and Queen. Under his real name, he plays in the indie rock band Kreisky, and he is also an author.
Ich bin zu den Nits gestoßen, wie so viele, denke ich, mit den Dutch Mountains, klar. Und da war, kann ich mich erinnern, im österreichischen Jugendfernsehen ein Konzertmitschnitt oder ein Tourbericht.
Like many people, I first noticed the Nits because of In the Dutch Mountains. Then there was this thing about them on TV. I liked the music, but especially the musicians. Many people have a tight cloak around them, a stylized coolness. There's nothing wrong with that, especially in the world of pop, which seems a bit artificial. But with them, I got the feeling that they are well-centered and reflective people. The Nits communicate with me at every level. They are a band from continental Europe. We share influences, cultural markers. There's a song, Yellow Socks, on the album Angst. That grandma knitting socks could be my grandma.
Da kann ich mir die Großmutter sehr gut vorstellen.
They find material in their lives and make songs that transcend those lives.
Das letzte Mini-Album, Treehouse Fire, wo sie die Erfahrung, wie sie ihr Studio verloren haben, wie sie das verarbeitet haben.
Take the mini-album Treehouse Fire, where they shaped the loss of their studio into very imaginative songs.
Und ich kann mir auch eine Beziehung der Musiker untereinander vorstellen. Das meine ich mit kompletten Menschen. Ich kann mir vorstellen, wie sie beim Essen sitzen und sich über Politik unterhalten, über Filme, über ihre.
I have the feeling that they really like one another. I can imagine them sitting at a kitchen table talking about life, about politics, about their kids, about films. I can't imagine that this happens with rock stars who live their lives in villas. I also have the feeling that they like their audience. This is pop music by normal people for normal people.
Und die Nits, das ist eben so eine Band, da habe ich das Gefühl, sie sind einander wohl. Darum sind sie auch mir als Hörer wohl.
I was walking in a town on the waterfront. I saw a building. I went inside into the dark. Into the coolness of the air conditioning.
One song that I particularly like is Mourir avant 15 ans. It is difficult to write pop songs about love, never mind even bigger themes like death or war crimes. You can easily destroy the song under the weight of the theme, but they have done a marvelous job. Henk goes to an exhibition and sees pictures of young people or children who died in a war before they were 15 years old. A shocking theme for a song, how these unspeakable things intrude in your life in a sudden moment. Man is a wolf to man, as the Latin proverb says. To describe the shock is masterful storytelling, and then the music, which is kind of light with a floating rhythm like a warm summer evening. There's a descending synth line that alludes to the everyday banality of terror. I find this to be an example of a very precise song.
Exemplarisch, präzise Song.
Jan Douwe Kruske is a famous Dutch radio and TV presenter who got known internationally for his radio format Twee Meter Sessies, where bands play live in a radio studio.
I did my radio program in the broadcasting center about 1 kilometer from here. And in one of those shows, I got the opportunity of having Nits live in my studio. So I told my listeners, hey, if you want to be there, I have about 20 tickets. So join us in the studio for 20 visitors. And in the first week, I got about 200 reactions. In the second week, we got another 200. Went to my boss and said, probably we should do it here in the old Vara building, in the entrance hall, where we can have about 200 to 400 people. I don't expect 400 people to come, so let's do it for 200. And it was an open invitation.
We meet him in a historical site, the studios of Vara Radio, in a building that dates back to the 30s. It sports a fantastic studio for a recording orchestra and an impressive entrance hall with a front desk where 6 ladies used to answer the phones. And this is how the story evolves.
My third week of programming, I told the audience, we're going to do it at the entrance of the Vara building. Be my guest on Tuesday evening. It starts at 8, live broadcast at 9. We drink a beer and then it's okay. And the Nits came in, and there were some people already, about 10 or 15 people who wanted to be there during soundcheck. And then my boss said, are you sure that we'll have only 200 people? I said, yeah, it's not going to be much more than 200. And finally, when it got to 9 o'clock, the building was completely packed with 2,000 people. And my boss was so mad with me. He said, you're never going to do any open invitation anymore. The only thing I could say was, now we have our audience, 1,000 people, and then you're not happy. It was a bit too busy, but we want to be popular, so why don't we just enjoy it? He said, enjoy it. The 6 ladies in the telephone booth, they couldn't even answer the phone. There was not enough beer, there was no water. People were suffering. I said, come on, we were enjoying. 2,000 people in a big building was okay. So I almost got sacked.
Jan Douwe Kruske stayed on, and his radio show, The 2 Meter Sessions, became a huge success.
I thought in those days radio was quite boring, so I wanted to invite people in my program. You know, artists are people who travel a lot, and they like it when there's a cup of coffee, when there is good taking care of you, and then they start relaxing. The moment they relax, they are happy to play some songs and to tell about their songs. A gathering of people in a room of max 2 hours. And that's what I was thinking about in my program. And it worked like hell. So that's what the start was for 2 Meter Sessions. And it got something because in week 1 we had guest A, in week 2 we had another guest, went on and on and on. And people reacted. And I was lucky to have Crowded House in my first studio session.
The Nits often made appearances on this show.
This one goes back to May 1994, where they did a TV recording for 2 Meter Sessions, and they're really on it.
The break of day, I lift my hat, leave the bed to go to work. The bicycle, streets in town, rainy days falling down. It's
may be impossible, but I've got dreams. I may be an optimist, but I've got dreams. Dream. And in a month, I'm 42, I'm still with you. My second child's a mystery. The first one, she looks like me.
She's living in the white tree, white tree.
This may be impossible, but I've got dreams. I may be impossible, but I've got dreams. Lift my hand, the work is done, I go back home. I eat my food, I rest my hair, and go to bed, the day is done. I may be an optimist, but I've got a dream. Impossible, but I've got a dream.
'94 was a big year for 2 Meter on television because it was the third year of recording for TV. Everybody wanted to be on 2 Meter. I wanted to have Mundo Jr., Deus from Belgium. But you also have to work with the music industry because on Island Records there were more bands than just Deus, though. So they started offering other acts from Island Records or Warner or Universal. And I wanted to invite Nits in that calendar of that year because they were really good. They were on fire at that moment. So when you have a band which is on fire and you put them in the studio, it's not always good. Because in this case, Nits was very much used to getting a lot of applause. 1994, a heyday in their career. So they didn't get any applause because there was no audience. So they were working concentrated in a studio where there were no people. So it looks a bit like are we okay? Do we sound okay? Yes, you sound very much okay. We sometimes find it very almost funny to watch a band that's taking 3 or 4 or 5 takes of a song, but then I get bored, because you don't want to record a song 3, 4, 5 times. It can be frustrating for the camera team, it can be frustrating for the audio engineer as well. A band wants to make the best version, or they want to do a part of take 1, part of take 3, in combination with part of take 5. That's all studio work. We don't like that studio work, because we want to capture the energy as much as possible. So we work towards setting where band's happy, and then, okay, let's go. And we're going to do one take. And Dreams is one of those examples. They played Dreams only once.
He smiled at me when he was speaking.
If you look at the calendar, at the agenda of all the venues that we have, there's a lot of foreign acts that are actually playing in Utrecht or Paradiso Amsterdam, which is quite normal. We accept it as quite normal, but if you go to America, you hardly see any foreign bands in their venues, because they have such a strong market, of course. But the Dutch are very open to foreigners, very open to foreign musicians, theater personalities. So we can easily compare it to foreign people as well. It sounds very logical, Johan Cruyff football language. If you have the ball, you can play the game. If you have the best ball, you can play the best game. So you better take care of taking the best ball for the game. Then you might be able to win and be successful on a world level. So get all the foreigners in to get the best example and to become like them. But that's something different, I would say. We don't have so many talents in this country. Don't forget that Robert Jan Stips, Rob Kloet and Henk Hofstede are big talents, the three of them. This chemistry is unique, but we don't have so many unique personalities and culture in the Netherlands.
I think of the year when she was 18. She charmed the words out of my mouth. Da 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 da.
It's a unique band. I wouldn't be able to compare any band with Robert John and Hank. It's impossible. Even when I watch Super Sister, when I listen to Hank solo or Rob solo, that's not Nits. The Nitsness is what the three of them do, what they cause when they're the three of them. Whether they have invited guest singers or guest players, when Robert Jan, Rob and Henk are together, then it's Nits. It's about three very special personalities. When the three are together, the chemistry makes that they sound like they sound.
This is called Sugar River.
Quite a good tempo there.
it's a heavy tempo, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. With an easiness.
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah. Really.
It seems to be a sort of natural thing. Like, I heard once a theory about heart beating. And so when you have a crowd together and your heart starts beating faster, and so the rhythm you tunes is also a bit faster than normal.
Yeah, maybe you build it up while the concert is moving on.
Yeah.
And then the tempo will change. Yeah. Or it is
so
kind
natural.
Of collective.
I mean, like almost everybody played faster. Live.
Yeah.
Which are the songs that you would prefer in the version where they're live to the ones that you recorded? Or is that ever... It's not a question at all, or
it's not a question because they both have a quality of their own.
Yeah.
I mean, there are elements in the studio recording which you can't physically or whatever mentally reproduce on stage, but on stage another element takes that place. So
we don't have the memory of the audience.
No,
that's a big difference. We don't have the experience that a fan or people in the audience. Everywhere have. We never listen to the Nits. So we don't have that kind of memory. We have a memory of playing it, but playing is close to studio things. It's not the experience of a concert. I can imagine that some people prefer the live version because they're closer to their warmest experiences.
Yeah.
And not as a record, but as a moment that they went out with their loved ones or memories or anything. So that's the big attraction of live songs.
I've rarely ever seen a band that enjoys themselves so much as you seem to do.
I always think that it's very enjoyable to play live. It's very natural for me.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of it.
No.
I know what you're talking about, but I've never been in the audience looking at our band. That's one of the strange things, of course.
I once was.
Yes.
Yeah. You were.
I don't know, but when people come to me, oh, you have such great contact and it's all pleasant okay, well, we played and we enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's pure enjoyment.
It is enjoyment, but that's really part of the music. That's you
also
don't think
what
about
happens
it.
In the studio and everywhere.
Yeah.
In the car.
The moment you start a song, then it starts.
Yeah.
It should happen to everyone, but there are many bands that give the impression that it's a lot of difficulties. And of course, it probably is somewhere, but not while playing.
The most important thing for me anyway is that you get a feeling you play together. I mean, if you only get your kicks from the audience after the song, then you're not in the right place. I think you should really enjoy the playing together. And if this happens, at some moments, I really get the impression I could also stop playing and the song would just go on. You know, and that's, you know, because together you lift something up and it seems to float in the air. So that's the feeling. That's because you do it together. And that's the big thing about it, I think.
Yeah, but I feel that when we're playing, we're also creating. And there's lots of bands who just play their song.
Yeah.
But you do so and you never have the feeling that, oh, they're really at work.
No.
You know, naturally you're at work, but it never looks like it. It looks as if you were the happiest buggers in the world, really.
And you know that's not always true.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's so enjoyable. I think we seldom played a concert that was denied by the audience, or let's say the audience. Didn't like it.
Feel the distance. Yeah.
Even when there are audience that totally not ours, because we played
Moscow.
Moscow, and we played as a supporting act for the English band in Germany.
Uriah Heep.
And I mean, now we're talking about a totally different audience. But I remember doing a concert in Berlin, and everybody was sitting. There were big theaters. And we played our set, very sober set, and we finished it. And there was this band in front of me. It was very close, with enormous long hair and a big belly. At first, I was a little bit afraid of him, but when we entered, we came on the stage. But at the end of the concert, he looked at me and he, okay,
thumbs up.
Yeah.
He liked it, and it was
totally not his music.
No.
I think that's very powerful. It's wonderful.
I always enjoyed the shit out of it.
That should be the last statement of the whole series. I always enjoyed
the shit. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
The last thing.
Yeah.
What does it do to you to reflect upon your working life?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I have to admit, sometimes it's very emotional. And because of the combination of the talking, especially also the talking of other people, in combination with our music. I'm listening to some songs that we did, of course, we all know, in a totally different way.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we talked about being proud.
To say exactly the same.
I have to admit there are moments that that's it is a body of work.
Yeah. During the whole process of making this, I start to learn to use the word or appreciate it again, maybe. But it is really, it's absolutely what Hank says. It can be very touching when you hear, also, of course, I hear sometimes Robert Jan and Hank say things which I forgot or never heard before, or their opinion about things, or the recollection about things that happened. It's very... That's wonderful to hear. And then, of course, the people around us who comment on...
Yeah, that's so wonderful.
It really makes you blush sometimes. It always amazes me. I just don't get it how we manage to do this all. I just don't get it.
I still have a lot to listen to. And what I heard, it sort of dazzled me. All these things that we did and... But with pleasure.